The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
All right, folks, welcome back in. 631-888-8811. You're here with Sweeney and the Waz. Taking you through 2 hours. Sports took a lot of hockey in the first hour. A lot of aggravation on my part with the Rangers and the way they played. A lot of mixed messages from my partner.
No.
With the way he feels about his team. Things are good. I don't like these guys.
No, all I'm saying is that they could have won that.
Hey, look, struggling.
Gart Snow, maybe his hands were tied. I'm not going to say you know what the deal is. Who knows what goes on behind closed doors, okay? But the thing is, they could have went out and got a couple of these other guys to help Tavares. That's the only thing my point was. But we don't have the deals. We'll see what happens. There's 12 games left. Let's see what happens. Let's play it out. Let it roll. It's like let the dice roll, right?
They have seven or eight
winnable games right
now. That game that they have to make up against Philadelphia is now looming much more important than it did if they were to play it back when they before the
snowstorm. Especially this Monday game is a big game. Hey, look, they lose this game to Philly. Instead of being up 7.
Is this Monday's game the makeup game?
No, I don't know. I think they might be playing
I think it's April 10th.
April 10th they're making that game?
Yeah.
April 2nd they play Pittsburgh, too. They got some tough games coming up.
All right, so let's take a break from the current NHL teams, and let's bring in a former Ranger from back in the early 90s, played with the Roger Nielsen team, and former Olympian, 1988 Olympic team. Kevin Miller's joining us tonight. Kevin, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Hey, Kev. How you doing?
How you doing, Kevin?
Doing great.
We really appreciate you joining us. Hey, Kev, first and foremost, how you been and what have you been up to these days?
You know, I've been good. About 7 years ago, I started my own financial company, and I'm a certified financial planner. So I do that during the day, and then at night I run hockey clinics and power skating stuff in the summer, and coach a girls U19 hockey team in the fall.
Now, I know you have, three daughters?
Four daughters, yeah.
Four daughters. Now, see, here's a guy who comes from a family of hockey players, right?
Yeah.
Now, you have two other brothers that played, Kelly and Kip. Your mom named you, start with the letter K. It reminds me of my family, all D's, my two sisters and myself, Derek, Danielle, and Desiree. So that's pretty cool. Now, you have to worry, right? Your father had the luck of having all these boys playing hockey, and you had to worry about Sweet 16s and proms.
I feel your pain, Kevin. I have three daughters myself.
Yeah. So I've got the four daughters. My oldest is Hannah, who finished seventh in the nation in figure skating.
Right.
Wow.
This past January, and you know, her goal is to be in the Olympics in 2 years. And then my 17-year-old is on my hockey team, led my team in scoring last year, and is turning into a really good hockey player. And then I've got twins that are 14, and they figure skate too. So tried to get them all to play hockey, but only got one of them to do it. And
congratulations with that. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And there you go. You must be so proud because Hannah, if she makes it to the Olympics, there you go. You were on the 88 Olympic squad, and hopefully she'll be on the next U.S. figure skating team. That'd be great for you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, matter of fact, when the Olympics were in Vancouver, I took her up and took her to the figure skating events and just, you know, try to get her, you know, her mind and her goals set on that's something she wants to do, and it worked. And she's worked real hard, and, you know, she's got a shot at it.
That's great. Now, listen. Now, growing up in Michigan, do you still live in Michigan, or have you relocated?
I do. Yeah, no. Me and my brothers are back, still in Michigan. We live near Michigan State. My older brother is the assistant coach at Michigan State, and we moved away and bounced around, and we all came back.
All right. So, growing up in Michigan, were you a Detroit Red Wing fan growing up?
Yes, I was actually. You know, it's hard not to be. You grow up watching Michigan State hockey and Detroit Red Wing hockey, and it's you know, a lot of fun and enjoyable.
So, a young guy growing up playing the game, who was your favorite player from that team, or someone in the NHL in general?
Yeah, actually, I watched more of the Michigan State games back in the day, and it seemed like the Red Wings weren't on a lot, but we actually watched a lot of the Toronto because they always had hockey night in Canada on Saturday nights.
Right.
So, I had more guys that I really admired on the Michigan State teams, and that was my biggest goal, is to make it there. And once, I got older, then I, became more where I wanted to be, an NHL player, an Olympic player, and, I just kept working hard and working hard and was able to live out those dreams.
All right, so you were drafted by the Rangers in 1984. You went to Michigan State and then wound up playing for the 88 Olympic team. So during that time, though, when your brother Kelly made it to the Rangers, did you root for the Rangers, or did you still, you were just into your own thing at the time?
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, any time we got a chance to watch, at that point you could watch quite a few games because Madison Square Garden was always broadcasting, and so we watched them quite a bit and always rooted for them. I was lucky enough to get drafted by the Rangers too, but before I could get there, he was already moved on to Washington. So,
He was involved.
Yeah, fantastic.
He was involved in one of the worst trades in team history. I mean, they added that big playoff front in '86, where they pulled two big upsets against Philly and Washington before they lost to Montreal. Patrick Waugh was a rookie, stood on his head, and I'll never forget because it was New Year's Day. 1987, me and my dad, we had to go to the store to get something. We had the radio on, and they announced the trade for Bobby Carpenter. And two of our favorite Rangers, Kelly Miller, your brother, and also Mike Ridley, were traded.
Right.
We were beside ourselves with disgust, and Phil Esposito would be known to make those kind of trades throughout his tenure as a Ranger, which was disappointing to me because when I started watching Ranger hockey as a kid, Phil Esposito was my first favorite Ranger because he was on the team at the time.
Did your brother ever give you any heads up? Me and Matt, this is John. How you doing, brother? Big Islander fans. Did your brother give you any heads up of those games, those series games, how tough they were or anything like that, the Islander Ranger games?
No, I mean, you know how rivalry works. Michigan State's got U of M, and, going into those games, you just got to, up at another level. And it's the same, when you're in with the Rangers and the Islanders. And I mean, now there's so many different rivalries. And I think the Rangers probably have five or six big rivalries going now.
Yeah.
And, you just amp it up and you know what to expect. And you just got to play, even harder.
Okay, so when you came to the first let me ask you about the 88 Olympics. Not too many guys get a chance to play for their country. And this is back when still amateurs made those Olympic teams. So in the 88 Olympics in Calgary, how was that experience? I think you had like 4 or 5 points in the games you played in. So tell us a little bit about that and what that was like making that team.
Yeah, it was a great experience because they picked the team in the summer. And then you get together in August, and the team basically lives together until, the Olympics. And we, we lived together, and we trained in Lake Placid and trained in different areas, and we would travel, and we were always together. So, I mean, we had great, a great family of hockey players, and we all stay in touch still today. I mean, I still talk to Ryan Leach and Mike Richter and Craig Janney and all those guys because you just form such a great bond over those 5-6 months. And then the Olympics come, and it goes by so quick, and it's before you know it, it's over. And we were not able to go to the opening ceremonies actually because we had a early morning game the next day, so they actually kept us out of that. And before we knew it, we were playing for 7th place, and it was over with. And then all of a sudden, everybody had flights, and it was it. It was kind of like, wow, all this time and all this effort, and boom, it's over. So it was a great experience. I thought we had a great team, and we didn't take it as far as we probably should have.
And back then, they still had that massive monster known as the Red Army team in Russia.
Yeah.
How was it watching them go at it on the ice?
Yeah, well, yeah, they were something, and we played some Russian teams during the year, but we didn't play their big team ever. We played like their B teams,
right?
And they were they were all really good players, too. So it wasn't like you were going to have an easy game. It was still a really hard game. And then all of a sudden you get to the Olympics, and boom, you're out there against them. And, we were down a lot. And actually in the third period, we played unbelievable and got it within a goal. And actually it was Brian Leach that hit the goalpost that would have tied the game with about 5 minutes to go. And that would have changed things, because then we would have made the medal round. But it was exciting, and at the same time, it was pretty hard.
I got you,
Kevin. This is Matt. While we're talking about your Olympic hockey experience, how big of an influence was that 1980 Olympic hockey team on spurring on your hockey career?
Oh, it was huge, absolutely huge. I mean, there was, a huge spike in all youth hockey after that, and a lot of kids that, just because of that, just started to play and wanted to try it and started being hockey players. But, I was already a player. So, you sit down and you watch the first game, and all of a sudden, you get to win. And then, every game, it just builds and builds and builds. And then there's so much excitement. And, we're actually out here right now in Colorado with doing an alumni deal with for youth hockey, and two of the guys off that team, Davey Christian and Jack O'Callaghan, are both out here, and they just give back to the game, and we sit around and we talk about it, and it's exciting to be standing next to these guys. So it's fun.
I want to ask you a question. Growing up, your dad played college hockey, right?
Yep.
And I read somewhere that he owned, you guys owned the rink, right? So for three brothers and two cousins to make it to, play in the NHL is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it was what we did. My dad came down my uncle came down in the 50s and played at Michigan State. And then, he went back home from, they were from Regina, and, he brought my dad down, and, he played in the 60s, and, and they both stayed, and started families right there in town. And then my cousin played in the 70s, and then Kelly and me and Kip all played. And my dad was at first just manager of the rink, and then he ended up buying it and taking it over. And so that's what we did. We were at the rink every day. I mean, the rink wasn't very far from home, so we'd find a way to get there. And we were always, that's probably why we made it. We had a lot of access to the ice.
A lot of time.
Always wanted to be on.
Was your other cousin, was Ryan Miller, did he live close to you guys? Did he use that same rink as well? Play with you guys?
He was around quite a bit. Actually, we, when he was pretty young, we actually brought him out, and when we'd have our skates at Michigan State, and put him in that. And, he was a big kid and never feared of the puck. He was probably 5 or 6 years younger than us. And he would stand in there, and, we were taking, our best, hardest shots, but we were still ripping the puck pretty good.
Yeah.
He never would flinch. He just, he was just solid. And you could tell that, he was, had a good chance of doing something and being a Spartan. And he kept growing and kept growing and kept getting better and had a hell of a career.
Yes, he does. He sure does. I mean, thanks for representing the United States. Anyway, you did a great job.
All right, so Kevin,
that's my honor. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a great achievement.
Yeah, great
the whole family. Your father must have been ecstatic with having three sons in the NHL. I mean, I know Kelly spent a good length of time in Washington. You were a little more traveled, checking forward, but you did good. 150 goals in your career. You had at least 20 more goals, at least 5 different occasions. When you came up with the Rangers, you played parts of 3 different seasons. How was that experience being around Roger Nielsen?
Oh, it was great. Now when people ask me, I did travel around, played on, a bunch of different teams and a bunch of different coaches, and everybody asks, who is the best coach you played for? And I always say Roger. I thought he was really just down to earth and talked to the guys and prepared us very well. And, you knew exactly what you were going to get for him, and everybody played very hard for him. And, it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it.
So did you get to play? I mean, it was parts of 3 different years. I mean, I remembered you being on the team, because I had season tickets and all that. But how many Ranger Islander games did you get to be involved in? At least a handful, or?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Definitely a few. I mean, you know, my first 2 years I was, you know, around the 20-game marks. And then the third year, you know, it was the first few games I didn't play, and it was a big question whether I would head to the minors or stay. And then Kelly Kissio broke his ankle, and that's pretty much what gave me my opportunity. And I got put on a line with Johnny O and Mullen, and we really clicked. And you know, we went about a 10-game stretch where, you know, we were scoring every game and just playing really, really good together. And after that, you know, I was kind of you know, going to be there the rest of the year. And so that year I played a lot of games, and you know, we had I thought we had a really good team. And you know, you just all of a sudden you get traded. So it was pack your bags and head to the next, you know, spot. It's kind of a shock when it happens. And but I definitely remember that was one of my favorite years.
You know, so when you first came up, it was nice because, like you said, you played on the Olympic team with Brian Lee, so he was there, and yep, a future Hall of Famer in that. But when you first got there, what were your thoughts? One of the guys I loved to watch shoot the puck was Mike Gardner. How was it being around a guy like that, as accomplished as he was, putting the puck in the net?
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, when you do get up there, you know, you're following hockey pretty good, and you know all the guys. And matter of fact, the first game I got called up, I actually played in Washington against Kelly, and they shipped my bag, but my sticks didn't make it. So The first game I played, I was using Guy Lafleur's stick. So that's
pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and he was ancient at the time too.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you keep him?
Did you have him sign him for
that
you?
One for sure. I actually started using a similar model, as a matter of fact, I scored that game. I didn't even
that's great.
See the ice to the third period, and I got a couple shifts, and I took a shot from the point, and I happened to be standing in front of the net, and it hit me about in the shaft of the stick, and went in. Counts as my first shot on goal and first goal.
So you scored your first goal with Guy Lafleur's stick. Is that what you're telling me?
That's awesome.
Did you have him sign it afterwards so you could take it home and give it to Dad?
Know, and I wish I would have thought of all that, because it, you know, it would have been unbelievable. But yeah, that was amazing. So, but you know, guys like Leach and Richter, and I mean, there was just so many good players, you know, and Mike Gardner, who could just fly and shoot the puck. And matter of fact, you know, playing with Guy. That the first year I played with him up in the Forum, first trip back to Montreal, and it was the line was me and him and Jason Lafrenier,
right.
And Guy got two goals that game. And the building, I mean, it was the loudest I've ever heard a building ever.
He was a rock star up there.
It was
unbelievable,
and that I mean today is I mean. Main memory that was unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing? You're playing with Guy Lafleur right around, you know, last end of the 80s, 1988, 89, right? That's when you played with him?
Yeah.
Right, you're playing with him, and meanwhile, this guy was a rock star in Montreal in the 70s when you were a kid, just growing up, skating in your dad's rink, learning how to play the game. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
And it's also such an accomplishment to make it. That's outstanding. Listen, you were involved in a trade that brought back Joey Cosa. But before you left the Rangers, you played with a couple of young guys like Mark Jansons and Troy Millett. I wanted to ask you about one other guy. Just to see if you have a vivid memory about Ty Domi in terms of tough guys. Even if it was just training camp, what was your encounters or just observations with him?
Well, it was interesting because I think he came in, it wasn't my first year. I think he came in my second year.
Right.
Or maybe my third year even. But you know, I was actually in training camp when I met him, and we happened to be on the same team. And, you know, you just, you know, when kids are coming out juniors, you don't know much about them. And I think it was the first the first exhibition game. You learned about him real quick because he ended up running the goalie and fighting a guy. And, you know, was it like a 5-on-5? And I'm like, holy cow, what's going on here? But he made his mark immediately, and very, very noticeable, and you know, turned it into an unbelievable career.
He was one of the tough, me being an Islander fan, he was one of the toughest guys. He get into a fight and he'd skate away smiling, like you know, like it's amazing. He's one of the top 10 top toughest guys in the NHL. That guy,
you couldn't definitely hurt him.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you couldn't hurt him. I mean, guys that fought him, I'll say, you know, they would hit him, but you know.
He'd just smile at you.
Mark. Yeah,
look at that crazy look, smile on his face, and smile at you. He was like I said, he's definitely one of the top 10.
It was like punching a fire hydrant,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's how I looked at it.
Uh-huh.
All right, so when you got traded to Detroit, was your father, was he a Red Wing family? Like, was he ecstatic to hear his son was coming to Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, my whole family was excited about it. I mean, I was excited about it. You know, whenever you get a chance to come back home,
right.
You know, I had mixed feelings. The one part, I loved the Ranger fans. I thought they were unbelievable. And today, I still say, you know, people ask, where's your favorite place to play? And, you know, I mean, all the places are great to play, but the New York fans were unbelievable. And, you know, Detroit is another one of those places that you say, yeah, you know, Detroit was a great place to play because their owners were so unbelievable and,
right.
And took care of the team and did things the right way. And so, yeah, it was exciting for the family and it was exciting for me to come back home. I enjoyed it.
It seems like there would be a lot of pressure going back and playing in your home, playing back at home for you to produce extra just because you're back home again. You're a kid from over there and everything. And just did it seem like that for you, that you had a lot of pressure on you when you came back? Or
no, not really, because, you know, the way I played, I just, you know, I always went into every game the same way. I was always going to give it 110%. And I was going to do whatever it took for, you know, the team to win. That's all I cared about. So, you know, I just would always prepare myself to go out and do what it takes to win the game. You know, if I scored goals or got assists, you know, I really didn't care too much about it. You know, so there's times that my only goal is to play defense or kill penalties. So, you know, whatever the coach wanted me to do, I was happy to do it. And my real goal was just to win games. So going into games, I didn't, the pressure wasn't really on me because all I wanted to do is be part of the team and just, you know, help the team win.
Yeah, I'll tell you, something else that you say, you really enjoyed playing for the Rangers in New York City because you really played in some real nice cities. I mean, you know, St. Louis is a great sports town. You played for another Original Six with the Blackhawks. So outside of the Rangers, let's say, between Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis you spent the most time with. You had back-to-back 20-goal seasons with them. Which city did you enjoy the most overall?
Yeah, that's the big question. I usually don't give a firm answer on that. I would say my top three were New York, Detroit and St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis was a great city, and it really is a great sports city, and a lot of guys still live there. You know, it seems like there's a ton of guys that go there, and after their careers, they move back and they stay in St. Louis just because it's such a great city, and the owners there, you know, take care of the alumni very well. And
right.
So, you know, I really enjoyed my time there. We had some good teams. Play with some great guys, and you know, I mean, I would say I always narrow it down to those three cities as my favorite.
All right. And you got to spend a little time in Washington. Did you get to skate with your brother at least?
I did. Yeah. I didn't spend very much time there.
Right.
You know, it seemed like the coach didn't like me right off the get go, and wouldn't give me an opportunity. I got traded for a pretty good player in Dino Cicerelli. And yet, you know, I started the season on the fourth line and not playing. So, you know, after 10 games, it was on my way. And ended up, you know, I knew I could play. I just needed to get the opportunity. And for some reason, he didn't like me, so wouldn't give me the opportunity. And once I got to St. Louis, they gave me plenty of opportunity. And I was playing with really good players. And, you know, that's why I was, you know, able to score 20 goals.
And you were more of a checking forward in your career, though, right? Because, I mean, to put up 150 goals, not too bad for a guy who played a two-way game.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that, you know, Roger said. You know, you're a guy that can play, you know, up on the top line or the second line and produce some goals. Or you can, you know, be on the third line and go against, you know, the top offensive guys and check them. And, you know, that's, you know, I always go into the game, what's my role here? You know, am I going to be checking today or am I going to be – on one of the other lines trying to, get some goals in the net. So, but either way, I would just, try to use my speed and my hard work and try to get the job done.
And I did notice in my little bit of research I did do, I noticed that you had to play, more than a handful of games with the New York Islanders. So I want to apologize for that.
Yeah.
And you had to go through that. But how was that when you came back to New York and you were on the other side of things? I know it was only for like 30 games or so, but that was the end of your career.
It wasn't very long.
Right.
That was when Mike Milbury was there. And,
oh my God.
I really apologize as an Islander fan that you had to get subjected to that.
10 years. The team back 10 years, that guy. Oh, God.
Well, and my favorite, Mike Milbury story was we actually played in Ottawa the night before, and I had a goal, and I was number two star, and I was basically playing third or fourth line all the time, mostly fourth line, and so, but in Ottawa, I got up on one of the better lines and had a goal and was number two star, and we had another game the next night back in the island, and he pulled me into his office, and he looked at me and said, you've been playing great, and I got to get you some more ice time, and then he stopped, and he paused. He paused and he said, "No, I can't do that." That was it. I walked out.
Unbelievable.
It was like, what just happened?
Having my season tickets back then, I can't say I'm surprised that was a coaching decision made by him.
Yeah. No, it was interesting because it actually had, there's some really good players there. And, we didn't win a lot of games. So, it was tough. It was a long 30 games.
was he the coach you liked the least, or the guy in Washington?
The guy in Washington I didn't get to know very well. I just know he didn't play me. I got to play for Keenan for about 10 games, and he didn't like me either. So
No, he didn't like you.
That's why I left St. Louis.
Right.
Keenan's, usually he comes in and any team he gets to, he just kind of, gets rid of 9 or 10 of the regulars that were there the year before and changes everything up. And so I was on that list. And, you found out pretty quickly who was on that list, and you just kind of waited for your time to get the call and say, okay, you're going here. So, the problem with the island was that at the time when I was there, they had like 7 coaches. And, it was just kind of crazy. I mean, practice, you'd have 6 or 7 guys on the ice.
Right.
And, it was just too many.
It was too much, right?
Too much.
Yeah.
You want to know the truth? I referee ice hockey, and I used to work the Islander training camp games, okay? Mm-hmm. And before Milbury took over the organization, Al Arbor was still there. Class act. He'd take care of us. You need this. He'd make sure we get paid. Everything. Treat us like gold. And he was, never around when you were doing the games. When we did the games for Milbury when he took over, he literally, I'm not even kidding, he had to be on the ice, with us. He couldn't trust the referees. It was just such a, almost like what you're describing with too many coaches. It was suffocating. We were you're really coming on the ice with us? So I guess he made it a 4-minute system before they even had that.
Well, speaking of coaches, you actually had the benefit to play with the guy, the one coach that I wish we still had on the island that went and won a cup with another team, and that would be Petey LaViolette.
Yeah.
You had to play with him during that 88 Olympic run. Do you still have any contact with him at all? Or
I do, yeah. I still stay in touch with him because we were not only were we together in 88, we were together in the minors and for the Rangers.
Really?
And
okay.
So the one year we roomed together in Flint.
Right.
The first year we were in, actually, we might have roomed together both years. The first year we were in Denver, and then the next year we moved to Flint.
Okay.
And, so I had a lot of good times with Pete, and we still stay in touch. And
he actually got me to root for the Flyers when they made that Stanley Cup run, because I would love to have seen him be the first American-born coach to win 2 cups with 2 different teams.
Right. No, I mean, he's done just a heck of a job. And, he's one of those guys that just really works hard. And he deserves it. He doesn't get lucky. He just works his way and gets it done.
That must be rewarding and unique for you to follow that, because you were teammates with him, roommates, right? You went through the experience of going through all these different coaches in your career, right? And then you see one of your buddies become a coach.
And right? a successful coach.
You know, when you think about when you were young, and now you're like, wow, this guy's coaching, and he accomplished so much. He's one of the winningest American coaches in NHL history. Yep. Him and yep. Tortorella. So.
Yeah, and actually, Kelly was his assistant coach in the Islands.
Oh, on Long Island. Okay, yeah.
Brother, right. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's great. I mean, it really is fun to watch him.
Right. And Kelly coaches Michigan State? Is that who's coaching him?
He's the assistant coach.
Assistant coach, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
next weekend starts the real tournament in the NCAAs, right? The NCAA yep. Frozen Four tournament starts next weekend.
Yeah. So, things get pretty exciting next weekend.
Unfortunately, we're not getting much hockey coverage on the college level on this part of the country, so you really got to do a little bit of research to find out anything about it.
Right. Yeah, we don't get to see too much till the Frozen Four.
Yes.
But that's nice that your brother's coaching at Michigan State. But you have the more important job because your daughter is probably very critical of the way you coach that women's team, so you got to be on the ball all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're challenging.
But, so one of your daughters is the seventh figure skater in the nation, top seventh skater in the nation, figure skater. That's fantastic. And the other one that plays ice hockey, did she have a shot at making the women's team?
You know, I think she does. She's going to post-grad a year. She's a late developer like I was because I actually had to post-grad out of high school before I went to Michigan State. And it just seems like every year she gets better and better. And, this past year she led my team in scoring. And, she's on the right path. So, you know, hopefully somebody will notice. I think they're going to get a heck of a player.
That's fantastic.
I'll tell you, Kevin.
You very proud dad.
Yeah, you come from a great family of athletes, and now not just hockey players, but you got a figure skating future champion in there. We want to wish you the best with all that, with the family stuff, and we want to thank you for joining us tonight. And it was great going over your playing career and little memories from your Ranger days in the early 90s. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you, guys. It was fun.
Good luck with your girls, and you got us with that Guy Lafleur first goal.
Dude,
with
that
the
was
stick.
Awesome.
We're gonna remember that for the rest of our lives. That's a fantastic
story.
Enjoy those daughters, Kevin. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, folks. There you go. Kevin Miller spent a good 30 minutes with us, and we're going to come back, and we're probably going to wind up sticking with hockey. We're going to play a little special music for my old partner back in our days working up in Windage. And we'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SPORTSTALK1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SPORTSTALK1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for?
Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines, also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m.
right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, folks, we are back for the final 25 minutes. And I thought this song would be appropriate because everybody out there knows, everybody knows that Sweeney and the Wahs are cops. So we made it cop night here at WGBB at Sports Talk 1240. And I brought in my old partner from when I worked out in Suffolk County as a cop. We spent the early 2000s.
Yes.
Up in Winebanch, his partners on the overnight when the Islanders were making the playoffs and the Rangers weren't.
Absolutely.
When Laviolette was coaching.
Yes. That great 2001
So my partner,
2002 series.
Yep. My buddy.
I was actually at
my old partner, Matt Rosano, was celebrating and getting excited about the Islanders.
Yes.
And then together we would get a little excited and then agonize over the failures of the New York Jets.
Absolutely.
Being a big Jet fan, sort of like being Sweeney. We're opposite with hockey, but the same in football. So the three of us are Jet fans. I'm the only Ranger fan. And these two knuckleheads are Islander fish sticks. That's all right, though.
That's not right, going down the fish stick road.
That is
I
not
know.
Nice. That is not nice.
That was a former Ranger that dumped that fish stick on us. That was the former Ranger, Mr. Maloney, who dumped those fish sticks on. I think it was a conspiracy.
It was.
A plot.
You like
absolutely
that little tribute to you, a little swap?
Yes, a little swap.
All right, Matt, let me just get you down. You're down and out. I want to hear you because you're a huge.
So before we get
hold
to
on, are you down the fan?
I just want to clear up one thing before we get.
I don't want to hear any fish stick stories.
No, it's not.
Because let me tell you something. I'm tired of looking at that ugly jersey across from me.
You can talk to him about whatever you want. This first bit of questioning only goes towards.
You want to know something about the standings?
How are you supposed to
I
be
tweet out.
To
I tweet out. All right, hold on. Time
listen,
out. I tweeted out the standings when the Islanders actually took over second place the other day. And he has not stopped with this standings. All he's been texting me and sending me tweets was, make sure you come up with the standings.
Let me
we'll see when
way
the season's over, when these 12 games are done, and we'll see where we stand and where you stand. Because right now you're tied with Pittsburgh, okay? Because they just blew out Washington
I think
tonight.
Ahead of us now.
Thank you. I hope so.
They steam.
I hope so.
Matty, let me just phrase it this way.
I know what you're going to try to do.
John Sweeney makes it more enjoyable to dislike the Islanders.
Really?
He makes my hatred for the Islanders almost as intense as the Islander players did
listen,
in the early
listen,
years.
I think you have a selective memory, though, about how Ranger fans are. Ranger fans like
yes,
to talk just
worst
as big of a game as anybody else. They like to think like they have the Yankees championships, but they really only had the New York Jets championships.
I'm well aware of that.
They definitely had that elitist type attitude.
That's why
and they really have not been that successful of a franchise.
I do dislike a lot of
Ranger one cup
fans
in 75 years
I
now?
I will be honest. I do dislike
76? 76 years? Are we going to go to 76?
I do dislike a lot of Rangers fans.
Are we counting this year?
And I dislike a lot of Islander fans as well. It's very, very frustrating.
And you know, for me with the Rangers,
yeah, absolutely.
Are we counting this year? 76,
it
one cup at 76
it looks
years?
Like it. Yeah. I know I can see the gleam in your eyes.
The fans I don't like is that say, I'm a Ranger fan, but you know what? If the Islanders and players, I'll root for them. Or
that's
I'm an Islander fan, or, you know, but look, if the Rangers are in the cup, you got to root for them. Hell no. No way.
That's not
the rivalry is too steep. It's
Matt,
the only real New York rivalry.
When I was growing up, it was the Ranger Club. The Islander had
absolutely
their own fan club in school.
Right.
It was a different. You cannot be an Islander. That's the in all sports.
Growing up, when
you
the
cannot
one
be.
We
oh, I like the Rangers. I like the Islander.
No,
you can't
do it.
It's impossible.
They played five times.
You can't
in
do
six
it.
Years.
Then you're not
it's
a hockey fan.
And they played. They fought each other in the playoffs. You
yes
couldn't do it in hockey.
You can't do that.
Football, the rivalry isn't there between the two.
No,
different divisions.
They never played significant
once
games
every
4 years.
Right.
You know,
they never did until recently. The Subway Series just started. There wasn't going.
No,
it was
small. Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't like series meetings. Two different things.
I will say this about
the Islanders. Rangers is the rivalry of all rivalries. If you're a New Yorker.
Yeah.
You've got to say,
even the Knicks and
say,
Nets never developed into any type of rivalry because
that's
both teams.
This is why I have such a hatred for that team.
But
their fans.
The Mets and the Yankees actually had it though, at least since 2000, because
it's getting better.
Because I remember growing up, I was a big Met and Yankee fan, but I was done being a diehard.
See,
I'm
not.
I'm
a Mets fan. You're one
or the
other.
I'm not talking about you right now.
Okay,
I'm not talking about you
because you are a fence jumper.
Yourself.
You can't say,
hold on.
Oh, I want to be a Yankee fan. Maybe
you don't
I'll
know
be
what
a
I'm
Met.
About
you're a Cleveland Indian fan.
Oh,
by
he's the Craig Carton of the show.
You're the Cleveland Indian fan.
Be quiet. I was a diehard Met and Yankee fan growing up, but at the end of high school, I kind of got away from that.
Okay.
And my sister, my older sister Desiree, she liked the Mets. We were big. She was the first Dave Kingman fan. Mm-hmm. Loved the Mets. But she liked the Yankees. She liked the Munson. She loved Billy Martin. She liked the Yankees a little bit. But when they played in the World Series in 2000, you know, I wasn't a diehard fan, so I kind of rode the fence. I made my little sister a Yankee fan, Danielle. But Desiree, when it gets, she finally disliked the Yankees from that point going forward. Now she's just a Met fan only. So, but with the Islanders and Rangers, we didn't have that problem because the rivalry started right away in the mid-70s. When Absolutely. The Islanders upset them in 75, slight mm-hmm. upset, but they, you know, they were an expansion team that beat the original six Rangers, knocked them out of the playoffs. Nobody expected it. And then when you got to the late 70s, now all of a sudden they met five times in a six-year period. And the Islanders won four in a row, starting in 81, right? I mean, that rivalry was so fierce that you played street hockey with your buddies.
You'd get into fights in
the
street hockey.
Exactly what happened.
Fans and you were going to kill each other.
That's right? Exactly what happened.
So you went home for dinner.
People would take a pop at you if you were wearing your team jersey playing street hockey.
That's Absolutely. Exactly how it was. And that's what everybody did. We were going down to the school playing in the old tennis courts mm-hmm. when they took the tennis courts off and that's what we ended up doing.
Yeah.
But
it was funny
because it was like our neighborhood used to play Henberry, right?
Yeah.
We used to play. He was older than me, but their neighborhood would play our neighborhood.
I know Henberry.
You know Henberry, right? So then we would
play hockey with him.
We would have different neighborhoods play each other, and that would be like a bracket. That's how we used to play.
Absolutely.
But it's not like that anymore. You don't even see kids out in the street anymore.
No.
That's over. But going back to this rivalry, you can't be like Matt was saying. If the Islanders aren't in, I want the Rangers to win. That's impossible.
No, you can't.
Because whoever it is, I'm wearing my LA Kings jersey, and it's worked.
Absolutely.
I got a Dustin Brown jersey. I wore it for the Cup. They won. I wore my brown. I took a picture of myself the other night. I sent him the picture. I owned a hat with my brown jersey on, and what ended up happening?
I'm glad you're happy.
The LA Kings won again.
I'm glad you're happy.
Won again. Oh, I'm happy. I'm floating.
When we worked together up in Wine Dance overnight, did I ever give you a hard time about being an Islander?
Yes.
Do you remember, like, the Rangers were missing the
playoffs? No, we would have some heated discussions, but no, you never gave me a hard time about it because, you know, I held my own discussion-wise.
When the Islanders lost their playoff series, right, did I call you and laugh at you or harass you like that?
No, you did not.
Okay, let me just say,
he actually did not.
I get from him every time the Rangers go through the playoffs. He's not a gentleman about it.
Two of you have a different type of relationship.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
So this year,
we know each other.
Last week, what happened was,
I've known him a long time. Don't forget, I've known this guy since the early 90s.
That one point in that game against Pittsburgh?
Yes.
So they technically tied the Rangers in points and then were ahead of them because they played less games.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, like within seconds of the game ending, there was a picture of the standings on my Twitter page saying, can you hear us knocking and this, that.
Knock, can you hear us?
Like,
hey, it's not over yet.
I don't recall that existing between us.
But you know what, though? Every time he throws that line out, you bite the hook and get all fired up back with him about
it. The veins in his head start bulging out.
He's not working every time.
He disappears. So when the Rangers, you know, they beat Anaheim, and then they got a point against L.A., and the Islanders lost a couple of games. So I just, the same thing that he tweeted me, the standings, I just sent a message back saying, don't forget to bring the standings so we could talk about it Sunday night.
And you were up to say fat mouth. You called me fat mouth.
You were.
Yeah.
You jump the gun way too soon. You celebrate way too early.
I almost
find comfort in that because I know failure is right behind it when you do it. I love it.
That's why I said today.
It's like celebrating a Jet victory over the Dolphins with 2 minutes to go and Marino has the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that right now.
No, but normally I just worry about the Rangers, and I don't care what the Islanders do. But he makes
now
it.
Brady.
He gets under
Brady
my
with
skin.
The ball now.
He
Brady.
Gets to me so much that I'm like praying for the Islanders to lose regular season games. Like, this is like when I was a kid.
That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be.
You're not dominating the NHL.
Who? The Islanders?
The team.
No, team's not.
But you know, but that's because who knows what the ownership
does make it fun to root against them. I'll give them that.
But for a franchise that did so well and doesn't get the recognition that it should get now. You know, you watch the NHL Network like I do, and you know they don't even talk about the Islanders with their dynasty at that. That's the best in any sport in the history.
But they do that anyway, though. Look at the Devils. If the Devils played anywhere else,
you're right.
You'd be hearing about him. You'd be hearing about
Brodeur.
You hear enough about Brodeur now, but you'd be hearing about Patrick Elias,
who's
had one of the best careers of European players had in our lifetime.
Yes.
And you hardly hear him mentioned in any sentence.
Yeah.
You know, Lou Lamoriello and that run the Devils had – Who wouldn't sign on for that run with their team?
Think about what the Devils did.
Five cup finals, three cups.
Yeah.
Think about in 25 years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And think about, you can go back as far as the Islanders, but think about what the Devils did just a little more recently with Brodeur. Could you imagine if that was the Rangers and Brodeur was the goalie, what they would do for him? The statues would have been up already.
Yeah.
If Lundqvist did something like the Islanders did in the 80s.
Would Messier still be crying, though, if they were doing that? I don't know. Might be.
Several times.
Okay.
Not just once. He would have done several times. The Devils, to be honest with you, they should have relocated already by now.
They'd be renaming Manhattan after Brodeur.
They should have went back to Kansas City where they started. But they're still there.
Kansas City via Colorado and then eventually to the Devils.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you had Hempstead Turnpike. The Devils had to celebrate in the parking lot. It's
hard. You're right. It's right. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Drove down Hempstead Turnpike. Yeah. In well, that's apparently picket trucks.
Yeah.
Matt, we got a caller on the line. You want to take a call?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have my partner handle his first phone call on Sports Talk Radio. Who's with us? We got a mystery call. Who's on the line?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Who's this?
Elwood.
Elwood!
Oh, my God. Elwood, how are you, brother?
I've heard Elwood.
And he is a big Islander fan.
Good man, Elwood. You're a man.
And he listens
to the floor is yours, Elwood. Go ahead, buddy.
No, Islanders and Mets all the way.
There you go.
Yes.
Don't go near basketball or football.
But hold on a minute now. I thought you go to Pacer games.
What?
Don't you go to basketball games?
How could you be in that state and not be a basketball fan? I thought you were born with a basketball.
I've got Pacers season tickets.
He's a Pacer and a Colt fan, but he's saying he's a Met and an Islander fan.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, I was going to say I'm the biggest Pacer fanatic you ever met. Okay.
Right. Season tickets.
I wear my Islanders fan out, you know, to the sports bar, and people from New York will start chumming up with me and my buddies, and they'll say something about Reggie Miller, and you hear chairs sliding back. I'm like, oh, don't do that, New York boy. You're not New York.
Listen, I was at that Knick playoff game that Reggie Miller killed us.
Oh, yeah.
I like Reggie Miller because I like Reggie.
Actually, guys, I'm enjoying the show because this is a break from basketball talk. This time of the year in Indianapolis is basketball fanaticism to the nth degree. I mean, it has been basketball talk all day. I mean, you wade through the Butler, IU, Purdue jerseys to get your groceries.
Well, Indiana beat Kentucky, though, right?
Oh, geez.
That's great.
There were people honking their horns and screaming. That's a big deal here.
Yeah,
my problem with college basketball now, between the timeouts and everything else, you really only need to watch like the last 2.5 minutes of a game.
Well, and Butler has become the team for the under 20 crowd.
Right.
Because to me, Butler wasn't a big. And I'm from Indianapolis, but now the under 20 crowd, they're like Butler fanatics, like IU or Purdue or Notre Dame. It's interesting. They were all downtrodden.
Yeah, Notre Dame won again too, right? So that was good for them.
Oh, yeah, well, we've had five or six teams in the tournament before. We kind of expect it around here. Yeah.
All right, Elwood, I thought you were tired of talking about basketball.
I am.
Yes, you got that. It's all over ESPN. It's all over everywhere. Talk about a little hockey. Your team's heading towards the playoffs.
Tip from a person from Indiana, don't get them started on basketball.
That's all right.
No, I was enjoying. No, actually, I thought about you guys. We were at the Indianapolis Fuel game, and we were sitting there, and there were some people there from the Fort Wayne Comets. And they were smack talking us down in our, because we all had on our Fuel jerseys. And I was like, guys, this is like Islanders and Ranger fans. We got a crosstown rival, and like I've been waiting for this my whole life. So we got to turn around and smack talk him. So I got to have my first, crosstown rivalry smack talk at hockey.
Now, was this East Coast or American Hockey League?
American. It's small fry. Right. Indianapolis finally got a team, because Gretzky left us and it died a horrible death.
Right.
Yeah.
But, by the way, I got a Gretzky card from the Racers. I threw it up on my...
Really? That's good. Hold on to that.
Send that to us. Send that to me.
For what I had to pay for that thing, it's going in the grave with me.
Well, you're a crafty guy. Put it up on
send that to us on Twitter.
Put it up on Twitter like the backdrop for our radio show.
Yeah.
Gretzky is Indiana Racers. But...
He's got a racist jersey, too, right? You have a racist jersey, too, from Gretzky.
Well, guys, I have a reproduction. There were no racers jerseys made back then. He was just some dude, playing hockey here. Everyone always asked me that.
Magic marker and a T-shirt, probably.
Yeah, there was nothing for him outside of he was the best player going. So he was on the majority of merchandise, such as it was. Plus, back then, you didn't really merchandise everything, So, I don't know. But anyways, guys... I called it. What's with all this Islanders bashing out of you, Waz?
Yeah, what is going on with you, Waz?
I didn't bash him. Elwood, I listened. I sat here and listened to my partner go down like three or four or five names that he couldn't stand on his own team.
Elwood,
I was just helping him. I was just helping him feel good about himself.
It's the last gasp of a desperate man. He knows his team is dwindling, and so he's got to bash.
There's nothing more aggravating right now than Ranger hockey.
It's got to be. You're watching Lundqvist get older.
Yeah.
His prime years are done.
Right now. Yeah,
he's not the problem, but you know they've like we talked about with Tavares before. You know, they're not building anybody around Tavares. They built a very limited team around Lundqvist.
No, they built the right team. They've already been to the finals. They've been to the semifinals a couple of times.
But they didn't get enough to get to the next step.
Well, no, you know when they say, I fall and I cannot get up? You ever hear that saying? I fall and I can't get up? That's the New York Rangers. They can't get up right now.
I mean, I'm in hockey no man land here. I'm in the twilight zone of hockey. I can, like, wear my jersey with pride.
Yeah. You got the NHL Network. You can get the package. You can watch games. You're okay.
Oh, no. In 2016, there's no problem being a hockey fan here. I get every game you get. I can read any article you can read. No, back in the old days, it's, you know.
Yeah, the old days.
It's like my Kevin Miller card. I used it as a banner for you guys. I mean, you got a hockey card. You, like, treasured it, you know, because hockey stuff here was nice.
Yeah, no.
For the internet. Oh, now with the internet, heck, you can be fan of some. You could be fan of cricket in England if you wanted. I mean, that's
true.
Oh, I think kids in 50 years won't even have regional teams. They'll like whoever they like.
Right.
It won't matter. But no,
Elwood, I wasn't bashing the Islanders at all. I tend to think that they've done a great job playing good team defense. But I do get on my partner in two regards. One, him and certain other callers like to get on the coach. And I think for the limited roster that he has, I think the coach has done a good job getting the most out of those guys. And secondly, the only thing I find unacceptable with the way the Islanders run their franchise is this. They have one of the top five players in the NHL on their team. He is a forward. And they have failed for several years now to surround him with the right players offensively
to get
the job done.
With Vanek. They tried doing that with Vanek.
Don't give me this tried. You got to do better.
Vanek didn't want to stay.
You got to do better.
Vanek, that was a move.
You had a great combination with him and Molson. Yeah. Why would you upset that apple cart and trade him for, on paper, who was a more talented paper?
Yeah.
When, for whatever reason, the intangible that Molson brought to the game clicked better.
And Vanek leaves, you got to go get another guy. And I'm not just talking about bringing in one guy. I'm saying that for having a top player, he was MVP finalist the last 2 years, and you're not surrounding him with other offensive weapons to try and really win. I'm not talking about winning a playoff series, which I understand that's where you're at. Talking about winning and making it so the guy wants to stay here. I'm telling you right now, the way they've run things with their team, in terms of their roster, they've done well performance-wise. Their record's fine. They're sitting good in terms of playoffs coming up. But for what they've done with their roster, they run the risk of having a guy like Tavares leave when his time's up. And if they don't smarten up, they're going to wind up having to pay more if they do decide to pay him. I'm telling you right now, he's going to ask for a lot of
million.
Money.
8 million he's going to get.
He's not getting 8 million. He's getting 8 million. What do you think?
It's going to take a hometown discount.
It's going to take more than that.
He's getting
hometown discount.
A hometown discount.
Why would he give you a hometown discount?
Because he wants to win in New York. That's why. He's a captain.
He's not winning in New York.
You're smoking something. Elwood. You think that?
Elwood.
Yeah.
You still there? I just want to ask one thing before you go, okay? I know. What do you think of the Colts? I want to hear it. Are you happy that they kept the coach, right?
Ask him about Peyton Manning. How do you feel about Peyton Manning winning the Super Bowl? I haven't seen you or heard from you.
Well, you were bashing the coach. You said you wanted the coach fired. They kept the coach, right?
I'm not happy with them keeping the coach, no.
Which I don't think he did a bad job. I think it was fantastic. How are you not going to keep the guy? It wasn't his fault that Luck is his all-star. That guy's the Peyton Manning Jr. of that team.
He is, but they need to build a better team around Luck. They need the defense. He's got to be protected. There is no reason this should not. Hey, Andrew Luck whooped Peyton Manning like a little girl when they played here in Indianapolis last time. There's no reason this team should not be winning. It's just irritating to watch because I am not upset at all that Peyton won. I am glad Denver has him, and here's why.
Did you root for him at least?
Heck, I root for him hook, line, and sinker.
I'm just asking. You rooted for him to win the Super Bowl, right?
Look, guys, if Indianapolis had kept Peyton, we would have won the Super Bowl, and Peyton would have waved his little hat and went out in the sunset. We wouldn't have had a number one draft pick. We wouldn't have had the next big thing.
Well, that was your owner, though.
Yeah, but you would have had another title.
You had a drug addict owner.
What are you talking about?
Titles are nice.
No, but that was
here we go.
That was your drug addict owner.
Hold the phone. Titles are nice? You're kidding me. That was the worst comment I've ever heard.
Anybody. You just lost all credibility.
That's horrible. What are you talking about? Titles are nice.
You're talking to
long-time
Jet fans. Who got to listen to Giant fans complain about Eli Manning.
No, we got to go. You
got
to say goodbye now.
Fan telling me something.
No, you sound like my partner. You got to say goodbye.
Hold on, Elwood, hold on.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Elo.
Hold on.
You know what? I hope Luck kills the Jets.
So what?
Yeah. Well, you've
we've already beaten
Rangers
him before. I'm worried about him.
Elwood,
didn't we beat him early in the year last year?
Yeah. Elwood,
I don't know. Get a VHS tape. I don't know.
Yes, they did.
We could beat the Bills.
Hold
but we
on.
Beat him.
Hold on a minute. The reason why Peyton Manning left was because your owner, who's a drug addict.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the reason why he left. It wasn't the coach's fault or anything. And second of all, you won a championship with Peyton Manning. You should be ecstatic.
No, here's
I want
one more championship with Peyton, or do I want 10 more?
My partner won 10 championships
with Luck. You're out of your mind.
My partner was 1 year. How old were you when they won in 69?
I was born.
He was born. I was like three. I was a couple of years old. But this is ridiculous. We're suffering over here as Jet fans for all these years because Joe Namath sold his soul to the devil that the Jets would never win again if they won when they did. And
you can't. Joe Beningo? That's harsh.
You can't.
Shut up already.
You're complaining.
First of all, Elwin, take care. We'll talk to you next show. And you, Joe Beningo Jr., are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
That? The reason why.
Sold his soul? Where'd you get that Joe Namath crap? That is horrible.
You gotta say something.
You can't say anything bad about Joe Namath, though.
This team
at least.
Joe Namath is fantastic.
And he was a class actor and a fully a team guy for.
No, I love Joe Namath. He's the best quarterback ever for the Jets. I'm just kidding around. But all I'm saying is that look at the season we had. We had a decent season. I thought we were making the playoffs.
We lost to the Bills twice.
It's the curse of the Meadowlands. We never should have left Shea.
There you go. That's it. Then.
How about this? How about this? When we had the chance, since the Giants were building a new stadium, we should have came back to New York.
2 minutes. I want to talk about this real quick. Is Geno Smith the answer? Because now I'm hearing a lot of stuff on Twitter.
No.
That Geno's going to be the quarterback?
No.
I say no way, right?
No way.
I'd rather have RG3 than Geno.
No, I'd rather see Bryce Petty take over.
I'll break out my Chad Pennington jersey if that happens.
Well, it's another guy that was disgruntled.
Jersey.
Him and Mark Sanchez were tossed to the curb. I say it all the time.
You got to promise you'll come back April 10th. Playoff preview, you got to promise
absolutely.
You'll come back.
I'll come back
for a full
April 10th.
2 hours that time. Until then, folks, Sweeney and the Waz are out of here.
Happy Easter, thanks, everybody.
Stay safe out there.
Everybody have a good Easter.
Celebrate smartly. And let's go Rangers!
Let's go Islanders. We got 2 Islanders.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.